And now for something completely different. It's time for the talk show. Patrick Fee is joining me today. Pat is the, you know, you're sort of the, I mean, to say you're the jack of all trades is sort of the understatement of the year, because you really are the jack of all trades.
I prefer a Renaissance man, sir.
Renaissance man, okay.
But, yes, I do a little bit of everything. It's true.
We call him Helter Skelter out here, actually.
Steve had originally asked me to sit in, and I said I couldn't because the Viking cruise ship is in town. And I had a job to do for there. I'm one of the tour guides for that.
He's only got 7 jobs, folks.
Yeah, I do. But I enjoy each and every one of them a lot. And they're all incredibly different. You know, I do stuff on the radio here,
yeah.
And I do help them with IT work here. And I do IT work on the side, and I do, I love the tour guiding stuff, and I actually deliver newspapers because there's still a contingent of folks in town that get their news that way.
He's also an actor.
Yes, I am.
And he has been, you've been a professional actor too, right?
Yes, I have. I was in, Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
So a little bit of everything. It keeps me out of trouble, but I'm still no radio personality like right. Mr. Steve Hexham.
All I have is just having been here forever. No, I haven't. I tell you the truth. I was thinking of all of the things that are going on right now,
mm-hmm.
and you and I were talking a little bit about the fact that, you know, there's so many pitfalls and so many disaster possibilities that are out there right now throughout the world.
Right.
Here's a thing that I was reading in the New York Times this morning. Vladimir Putin. It was 3 experts. And what's happening? What is the state of Russia right now with a mobilization for 300,000 troops? Now, what this does, this is the very first draft in Russia since World War II.
Right.
And the army itself is rife with corruption top to bottom. And soldiers are being, so they're having to glow on the black market to get their flak vests.
See, yeah, there's a lot of problems there because of all the stuff that's happening
in
Ukraine. But
what you also have now is you have all of these young elites. There were some young, the millennials that were sort of hanging in with him, you know, sort of, you know, well, okay, it's not so bad. I mean, well, it's, you know, hey, we're just going about our business and whatever. Well, they're not going about their business anymore because what's happening is those young men are, it's like, okay, you're in the army now.
Yeah. Called up for service.
And,
yes.
You know, and it's what it also shows, it really shows that Putin is in a precarious spot. It's hard to believe that he could be in a precarious spot. You would think he'd have been in a precarious spot quite a while ago. But what he is, and who's his big ally? To his south.
With China.
Yeah. Jing. And well, Jing is not happy.
Well, we've seen this. I think, or Xi, excuse me,
not Jing.
I think George put this very well in 1984. The idea is when you have issues within, you immediately find the enemies without. And that's why we see this stuff happening, in the war that he's currently involved in there. He's also doing a bunch of training missions and things like that up near Alaska.
Yeah.
And things of that ilk, because then, you know, when you look at the bad guys, pay attention to bad guys, pay no attention to the fact that you're not eating enough or whatever, you know, whatever the internal strife is. I mean, this country has done it too. Every country's done it. You know, let's all band together and face the enemy that's out there. And he has, you know, pointed the finger at who the enemy is out there.
However, the problem is that the people that were his supporters are all falling away. They are now people who are being, they aren't saying, they aren't, they're not being directly harsh for the most part, but they're all, but there's a lot of grumbling right now going on among the military establishment throughout Russia right now. And the people that were the most hawkish, they are livid with what's going on.
Well, and he's been able to control a lot of it. I mean, you know, when you're the field chief in East Germany, okay, for the KGB, and then when you're all the things that he was, you know, in later on in Russia, he's used to being able to mold and sculpt information to his bidding, but.
But it's slipping away.
It might be a bit too big at this point.
It's starting to slip away. And I don't know what, you know, and now he's starting to threaten, use of nuclear weapons. And that's he's got this nuclear weapons card in his hand. And whenever he gets, whenever anything bad happens, he throws the card down just to say, hey, I can still get you guys.
Well, and I think that part of that is that he loses. I mean, he saber rattles with that.
Yeah.
But to actually use it, I mean, because he also on the flip side, on a regular basis, uses the fact that we are the only country who have actually used nuclear weapons in combat.
That is true.
And that, you know, as soon as he does, even a tactical nuke. On the battlefield, as soon as that happens, that's no longer the case, and they no longer can, you know, push that on us. I don't know. It's interesting. I'd like to see, I'd like to see if maybe internally there is some push to move him aside.
Well, I have a feeling if he one way or the other, I think he's going to go. That's my opinion, but that's another story.
Well, and we were talking about information. And something else you and I talked about to change topics a little bit,
yeah,
is
Puerto Rico.
I have to tell you, I've had friends from Puerto Rico. I've never visited there. I really would like to, but I find it interesting in our country that we just celebrated the 5th anniversary of Maria. The hurricane coming through. And they were just getting certain things back up to snuff. And all of a sudden, here comes Fiona and devastates the southern part of the island. But what I found really strange is that people still don't think of Puerto Rico as part of the United States. I mean, I know they're not a state, they're a territory, but every single one of those people on that island are an American citizen. And I have read, and I'm not just talking about, you know, people talking or Twitter stuff. I'm talking about some real stuff coming out of Fox, CBS, a couple other places that were responding to Fiona and talking about how it devastated Puerto Rico. But now it's moving towards the United States. No! Puerto Rico is part of the United States. Now, it might be moving towards the U.S. mainland. I'll give you that. But I just, you know.
To give benefit of the doubt, I believe when they're talking about to the United States. One, I think you're right. Are they overlooking the fact that it's a United States territory? I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I think when they're referring to the United States, they are referring to the mainland and then utilizing, they're just skipping the word mainland.
I agree, but words have power. And words, and the problem is that we can do something about how we have marginalized some people in the past. And some of it is, you know, action. Some of it is dollars and different things like this. But we can start simply by using terminology and such that is inclusive. And I'm not getting all woke on you or anything like that. I'm just saying that in the case of Puerto Rico, we need to remember that it is part of the United States.
And that very well means that we have a responsibility to do what we need to do.
If there had been a typhoon out there that kicked Hawaii's butt and then started moving across towards San Francisco, towards that part of the country, if anyone had just said it devastated Hawaii and now it's moving towards the United States, Hawaii would have been up in arms, okay?
Yeah.
It's the type of thing that we need to think about that. And it's also the type of thing that if we're thinking about Puerto Rico and we're thinking about, I have a lot of certain friends that say, let's stop sending money, to other countries, right? You know, to build back up or whatever we're sending to Africa, different places. Okay. Well, here's a place where we should be sending money to our own United States citizens and help them, to rebuild that infrastructure. Now, the cool thing about the 5 years since Maria, there's a different company doing all the electric there. We'll really see if that private company really takes care of business or
they
not.
They did say today that they were they were in the process of restoring power, and that they had restored a certain percentage of power. They didn't say how much, but they're at least in the process of restoring power.
And it may be weeks instead of the many months that it was 5 years ago.
And
so we're moving in the right direction, but I just think we have to be thinking about that. And we also have to be thinking about even closer to home. I mean, the Colorado River. Right now, there are some people, there are some people in Arizona that, you know, are basically running out of water. And that's not even, we're not even talking about territories anymore. We're talking about our states right
now. If you want to know what my thoughts are regarding water, is we should be heavily investing in desalination of ocean water. And we should be looking at that, and particularly for these coastal areas. Look at Lake Mead right now outside of Las Vegas. Have you seen the number of dead bodies? Over 110 dead bodies found so far. Well, where do you think
you
those...
mean, you mean Lake Mafia, where they keep finding people that were supposedly disappeared?
In barrels and yes,
I think you're right. We have to look at a number of these issues, but we also have to look at them from a standpoint of doing the right thing. I mean, if we suddenly use desalination as a way to solve the problem, and then all we're doing is just slowly emptying the oceans, maybe that doesn't help either. The fact is, in California,
actually, to tell you the truth, what they're talking about is with quote unquote, this is with weather or solar climate change. You got to use the right term, not global warming, but climate change. They are saying that we are seeing a shrinking of icebergs, a shrinking of the Great North. More water is going to be coming in that will be eventually raising ocean levels. So desalination may have an actual better benefit in more than ways than one.
Well, we also have to approach things. I mean, we just got to get back in touch with what is in our area. Okay, all these folks that moved to Arizona and moved to parts of California and moved to parts of New Mexico to retire and expected nothing to change, to basically it to be, to have the water that they had elsewhere, to have front lawns that they could water like we water our front lawns here. It's not reality. And so when we're forcing it on there, but there is something we grow in California that takes an incredible amount of water. Maybe we shouldn't grow it there. You know, I mean, just saying, let's think about using the area instead of forcing it.
All right. Let's talk about a few other issues that are hot on the table right now. We talked a lot on Monday about the plane flight that went to Martha's Vineyard and yesterday it was on the Sean Hannity show yesterday. If anybody listened to the show, he said all of these people all signed their acceptance of this, and they were all and look at all the jobs there are that are open. There's tons of jobs that are open. And look, all of these places where people were staying in Martha's Vineyard, they're all open right now. What he didn't say is that the person that was in charge of this flight was sworn, and he did, and he admitted it, and he was sworn to say give no information whatsoever out about destination, where they're going, and that sort of thing. So when they got to Martha's Vineyard, this was sent up there. So, sorry, Sean, they all signed it, but they didn't sign. They signed to get on a plane. That's all they did. They signed to get on a plane. You said they signed. They thought they were going to go to Boston. They thought they were going to go, and they would be. And they were offered. All of them were offered that they would be. They would be getting rent. They would be getting rent for the apartments, and they would also be having, and jobs would be available. If you've come in and you think, I'm going to go north, I'm going to get jobs, and I've got rental assistance, that certainly beats being in a migrant camp, right?
Well, I think, yeah, it, I...
But it's deceptive. That was what I was saying.
It's just the general optics. If you're going to send the folks up there, number one, I still, no one can tell me why the governor of
Florida
is
DeSantis,
sending...
DeSantis, yeah.
I know, I'm just saying, I'm making a point of the state.
Okay.
The governor of Florida was sending people from Texas to Martha's Vineyard. They weren't a bunch of people that had landed in Miami or were coming across.
Because Governor Abbott was sending them to Florida, which was then being relayed to.
Then send some of those folks back over to Texas. I'm just saying.
But here's the bottom line issue here is, do we have a problem at the border? Yes. Have we done anything to stop that problem at the border? No. Or at least not enough. We have thousands that it's El Paso. El Paso's sending busloads of people north too. The thing is, we have a problem with immigration or migrants or illegal migrants or whatever, migrants coming across this border. An open door policy on the border is simply not. You have to have some controls on this situation.
Well, no, I agree with you, but I also agree. I have to tell you, on both sides. I don't care if you're on the red side of things or on the blue side of things. The bottom line here
is solving the problem.
Well, solving the problem, but solving the problem without making other people pawns.
Yes.
And both sides have done this. Those people that were brought up like that, they weren't treated like people. They were treated like a political experiment. And that's where I have a problem. And I'm not saying it. I know there's a number of people out there listening right now going, well, dag nabbit, if those Democrats took care of the border, I'm not saying that it's a Republican or Democratic thing. I'm saying that in both cases, when we start to use the people as our pawns to get the point across, then we've crossed some sort of ethical line that bothers me.
An ethical line. I agree entirely, and I think that's really what they, and that's all of these flights, all of these buses, all of them, they've all been used, all of these people have been used not as people, but as pawns. They've all been told something different to each one of them than what they were actually going to have.
And also, if this flight's going into Martha's Vineyard, if they had let Martha's Vineyard know about it, the local people
didn't
know.
Didn't say a word.
If they had let ICE know, if they had let somebody else know that of government, so that those people going up there, their movement up there was facilitated, as opposed to we're secretly going to drop these people off and then go for the political angle. It's the optics, man. If you're going to do things like that, if you really want to help, great. Then, somebody from the Florida governor's office should be on the phone to somebody up there saying, where are the jobs? Because we got a plane that's about to land. They're going to need jobs. They're going to need a place to stay, stuff like that. Want to give you a heads up. It's happening. Nobody did that. It was all to catch them off guard so that the people would be just there and then they could have a good, a good political moment.
Well, the same deal about why would you go to, why do you go to the vice president's house? You know, it's like, or why do you go to Chicago? Or why do you go to the White House? Or why do you go to any of these places? They're all it's all pawns.
Well, the one thing that I don't think that people were thinking about optics wise is that it's very easy to pull up old footage of the mid 60s. Where we were dealing with stuff for the for equal rights and everything, and in that time they actually some of the southern states were busing certain people of color up north. Now when that stuff started to surface, all of a sudden it kind of looks, the optics again go a little askew.
Yeah.
You know.
The thing is, we have been in turbulent times before, and we're probably going to be in turbulent times again. What we have right now is we have the greatest separation between what we don't have. What we do have now is we have a Democratic Party that is skewed far to the left, and it's in its platform and its basis and it's in its operation. We've had a Republican Party that is skewed just as far on the other side to the right, and it incorporates we've got a former president, who I think still thinks he is president, and who doesn't believe in the archives or any of the rules of the game, so to speak, in terms of what you can do with documents from the White House. And I mean, it's, I'm not going to, hey, look, to say, to go on, and he was on Sean, okay, I know, I'm not, he was on the Sean Hannity show, we've had the expressions on there. All he has to do is think about declassifying. He doesn't even have to touch the papers. He just thinks about declassifying them, and they're declassified. But the thing is, removing all of those documents was an offense in itself.
Well, if he had declassified them, this week and in a couple previous situations, his lawyers should have said that, because that's the problem. Is people have talked about them being disclassified
or declassified
in situations where they aren't under oath. And so let's if that's the case and he did do it, well, dag nabbit, get the lawyers to say it, get him to do it under oath so that we have something. But they didn't, and that's why the appeals judges, those three judges yesterday, one appointed by Obama, President Obama, two appointed by President Trump, they said, wait a second, you didn't tell us that, you know, how he declassified him. So we're considering him classified. Then we consider him owned by the government. And now the government can do what they want with this.
The government the government owns those papers. You do not own those papers. You may have had them all sitting on your dining room table in the day that you were leaving the White House. And you may have had all of your staff throw them into boxes. And you may have taken them all down to Mar-a-Lago, but they weren't your papers to take down there. They may have been papers. There was probably some private stuff in there you should have removed from those boxes, and that's a different story.
Well,
things that are not presidential.
And if it was just an oopsie moment, well, I mean, we all have it. You don't want to see some of the stuff when I left a job that I wound up, oh, my gosh, I got boxes of whatever. Bottom line is, it isn't just, oh, my gosh, it just happened. It was in January. It was later on in the year where they were asked, did you check all the stuff? And he has enough staff to go through the stuff and say, okay, get my gym shoes out of there and the and those other papers that were for a rental property, and then those papers left, they belong to the government, get them out of my face. You know, that's what really needed to happen.
Anyway, a lot of things. We're going to take a break. 319-754-1490. Anything else that's on your mind? I know that Burley, we just have some people are up in arms. There's still people downtown right now that are still very much up in arms about the whole Burlington Northern not signing off on the doggone crossing, the one railroad crossing that is keeping the Tiger Grant from finishing up in Jefferson Street.
Oh, you're going to have to tell me more about that.
All right, all of that coming up.
The snaps, the hits, the catches, QBs and TDs, first downs and penalties, end zones and overtimes. College football lives here on the Hawkeye Sports Network.
Iowa travels to Rutgers this Saturday with pregame at 4, kickoff at 6. Brought to you by Ritter's Landscaping and Garden Center, Brown Shoe Fit, Courtesy Door, and by John Hart, your Edward D. Jones agent on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
We've all heard the expression, practice makes perfect. But at Kumon Learning Centers, we believe practice makes possibilities. Imagine what your child could achieve with math and reading mastery at an early age. No one achieves greatness by accident. They practice. Right now, enjoy free registration and save up to $50 at Kumon, where practice makes possibilities. Call 1-800-ABC-MATH to book an orientation today.
Of course I use Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to clean tough messes off my stovetop and bathtub. But then I discovered I can also use it to easily clean my patio furniture and even my shoes. I'm hooked!
And when wipes won't cut it, I use Magic Eraser Sheets. They're thin and flexible erasers, perfect for everyday messes, like gunk on my counters and sinks. They really are magical.
The reviews are in. Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and Sheets make cleaning look easy.
Multi-platinum artist and the queen of Christian pop, Amy Grant comes to Riverside Casino September 23rd. Hear hits like Baby Baby, I Will Remember You, and more. Tickets are on sale now at RiversideCasinoAndResort.com.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. Des Moines County Conservation has announced the next hike in their Hike a Park series. Hike a Park Chatfield Campground will be held on October 6th. This hike will be meeting at Chatfield Campground in Lee County. Hikes will be led by Clay Steele, the Lee County naturalist. There is no fee to join the hike and no registration is required. This series of programs will be exploring the trail systems in the parks of Des Moines, Loisa, and Lee counties. For more information, contact Stars Cave Nature Center or visit them on Facebook. Lee County Youth Services Incorporated is reminding residents of the upcoming deadline to apply for the Lee County Youth Services Grant. Nonprofit organizations that serve Lee County youth are invited to apply for grants of up to $5,000. The deadline to apply for the grants is October 1st. Lee County Youth Services is a nonprofit organization which aims to provide opportunities and support for youth in need and those who serve them. For more information, visit KeokukFoundation.org. A Rockford woman will spend 15 months in federal prison for a scheme that netted her unemployment benefits from several states. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
The U.S. Attorney's Office says 53-year-old Stephanie Mendenhall used the names of other people to collect COVID-19 unemployment benefits from Maine, Michigan, Washington, Arizona, Colorado, Texas, Kansas, and Illinois. She pleaded guilty to four counts of theft of government funds and one count of money laundering. Mendenhall admitted to laundering the majority of the money by purchasing cryptocurrency and sending it to a co-conspirator. She was also ordered to pay back $46,000 in benefits to the states.
Lottery officials say two people who wish to remain anonymous have claimed a $1.337 billion Mega Millions jackpot after a single ticket was sold in a Chicago suburb for a late July drawing, opting to take a lump sum payment of $780.5 million. The Illinois Lottery said Wednesday the prize for the July 29th drawing was claimed by two individuals who agreed to split the prize if they won. The jackpot-winning ticket was bought at a Speedway gas station and convenience store in Des Plaines. The jackpot was the nation's third largest lottery prize. From the KBUR newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The Justice Department may resume reviewing classified documents taken from former President Trump's home by the FBI with an appeals court overturning a judge's hold. Trump claims, not in court but publicly, that he declassified the documents and denies accusations also in a New York State lawsuit accusing him of lying about property values.
I built a great company. You take places like this, so many other places that I have. Like this, frankly, I mean, just the among the finest places anywhere in the world.
Trump with Fox's Sean Hannity at Mar-a-Lago. At least nine people are reported killed in Iran during protests over a woman's death.
The days of unrest and demonstrations in Iran stem from the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, who died in custody after being detained by the country's morality police for allegedly violating its strict dress code.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. Police say Amini died of a heart attack. Her parents dispute that. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
As fall arrives today, it's going to be a mostly sunny, cool 66 for a high and a north wind around 10 gusting to 20. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low to 50. And then cloudy Friday, a 40% chance of showers mainly afternoon, a high just 59. South winds gusting to 20. Partly cloudy Friday night, down to 51. Sunny, warmer Saturday with a high to 77. Sunny Sunday, 71. Right now, we've got sunny skies and 58 degrees.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. The Federal Reserve raised interest rates again. Stocks sold off yesterday, but they're trying to bounce higher this morning on Wall Street. Investors are bracing for more volatility. Consumers will pay more on credit card balances they carry, from an average 16% in March to 18% now, according to WalletHub. Interest is also higher on any variable rate loans they have. On the flip side, interest-bearing savings accounts and CDs are paying more interest. Many online savings accounts are now paying 1.8%. Including Marcus and Alliant Credit Union, CD rates from online banks can pay up to 3% now for 1 year. The Fed's moves are designed to slow the economy and bring down inflation. Walmart and Target already gearing up for early holiday shoppers, offering deals and price matching to lure in consumers pressed by soaring inflation. Research shows more people are shopping early, hoping to avoid higher prices closer to Christmas. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
The 90th season of the Players Workshop opens with Mamma Mia, playing for 3 weekends, Friday, September 23rd through Sunday, October 9th. Join Donna and the Dynamos and the entire cast for all of your favorite ABBA songs with this fun and popular musical. Get your tickets now. Tickets are $15 for adults, $10 for students. Available now at PlayersWorkshopTheater.com. Bring out your inner dancing queen and join us.
Time to head to the Broadway Bar and Grill in West Burlington for your favorite food and drink during football season. Each Saturday and Sunday, enjoy specials on pizza and appetizers, including wings, loaded nachos, potato skins, and samplers. Weekly drink specials include beer buckets and Bloody Mary specials all day. It's football season, and your place to be for all the big college and pro games is at the Broadway Bar and Grill in downtown West Burlington. Check them out on Facebook for their weekly specials. First impressions last.
Time to call Sherwood Company. Businesses are constantly trying to find ways to market to new customers. Have you thought about the impact something as simple as putting your business name on your car could have? Hi, this is Tyler Sherwood with the Sherwood Company. Adding a sign to your company or personal vehicle allows you to have a rolling billboard for your business all year long. From a full-color wrap to a simple logo on the door, Sherwood Company's professional designers and installers have you covered. You've probably seen some of our work rolling down the road, like Pepsi's box truck, the Henderson County Public Library's bookmobile, and Mershman Seed's semi-trailers and trucks. And if you've been to any parades recently and spotted the Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center's parade vehicle, we professionally installed that wrap too. Join these companies and take your brand on the road. Give us a call at the Sherwood Company. First impressions last.
Time to call Sherwood Company. Everything you need to know and more on AM and FM. All your favorite programs and personalities with a cleaner, clearer signal and a larger nighttime coverage area. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And welcome back on the talk show. Pat Fee is across here. We were talking about some of the crazy things going on. What are the crazy things we have going on? Burlington Northern. Did you know that if they build anything that does cross a railroad track, Burlington Northern has to have
sign off on it.
They have to. Not only do they sign off on it, but they have to have a Burlington Northern employee on duty during the entire process of any of the construction that goes on that has any connection at any time with the railroad.
Wow.
So as long as, and that person, that and then they have to, and they, if they, and they can say, no, you can't do that. I don't care whether you bid it. I don't care whether it's a part of the process or not. They can negate it at any time. Now, they have to sign off on every piece of, every project that would be a change, or every project that would affect the railroad. Now, what they did is the crossing arm was changed by, I believe it was 1 foot.
Now, this is where?
Downtown. This is the one, you know, where the one that is on, right up at the very, by the Sombrero. Sombrero, does that tell you something?
So we're on Jefferson.
We're on Jefferson.
Okay.
And that crossing, and because it was a they took the crossing arm off while they're doing the construction, okay?
Right.
Okay. By doing that, they altered the crossing of the, and Burlington Northern also found out, apparently, that there were federal funds that were being available or being utilized in the Tiger Grant program that we were getting to help build our sidewalk, redo the sidewalk, redo the street, redo the bike lanes, all of that thing, redo the riverfront. And it was the Burlington Northern, the guy that had signed off on it retired. So they had to bring a new guy in. Well, the new guy says, nope, if you want my okay, you have to do all of the crossings. You have to update every one of your crossings to get that come in through town.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, it is a few, but I mean, there aren't that many, are there? If you're doing it in town, I mean.
Well, at any place that crosses a street.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, that's the, but. It would have been about another $1.2 to $1.5 million just to do those, just to do the arms and all of the other. And they have to be lit and they have to be lighted and they.
Right.
And we have a quiet zone, so they can't be, you know, they can't be loud ones and clanging and all of that sort of thing. And it has to be, and they have to all be modified so that cars will not, you protect it. Yeah.
Right. Well, the good news is that, they finished the one half of it going down Main Street, so that you can actually go north on Main Street now. I found that out today, actually, when I asked the guys, because they were doing work and stuff, and it says the road is closed, but evidently the right side of the road has been completed. So at least something's getting done there. I feel so much for our friends at the Luncheonette.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
At a couple different stores that are there is it Dimension? Yeah, not the homeless shelter.
Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's
Transitions.
Transitions. Yeah.
DMC, and such, because you know it's really hard to get to them right now, and I love the luncheon is my place to my go-to place for breakfast stuff.
Well,
so.
It's one of those that says, okay, you have to, let's face it. If you're on Jefferson Street and this construction has gone on and gone on and gone on, it does affect people getting to your business, and it does affect things. Can you work around it? Yes. Can people get to your business? Yes, if they want to walk a ways to do so. It's funny how we walk. You're in a parking lot out at one of the box stores, and you're on a very busy day. Think how far you have to walk to get to the front door. Take that same distance. Will people use that same distance downtown?
No.
Because they're used to. I drive to the slot right in front of the store. Get out, do my business, and I get back in. I'm not sure if that's distorted. It's a distorted point of view. Then and walking a little extra isn't going to hurt anybody. And we've got parking lots downtown. So.
Well, and we need to be keeping those businesses going downtown, because that's part of what makes Burlington what it is.
Well, and I agree entirely, because we've got new businesses that are downtown. They need to be supported, and they need to be able to get back to where they were. The pandemic took a toll, and. A lot of them became much better businesses because of it. They learned how to do online retailing, as well as doing things. And the downtown is the fastest growing area. If you've been downtown, you also know that the downtown is where all of the new all of the condos, new apartments are all being finished up, and they're doing it lickety split. And what else is the other big business downtown? Airbnb.
Are there quite a few?
Airbnb is everywhere downtown, because we've talked about a boutique hotel, but Airbnb is satisfying one of those needs. We're going to take another break. We'll be right back.
Friday night is football night on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. This Friday, join Scott Mason and John Flaherty as Burlington hosts Clinton. Brought to you by Pizza Ranch, John Hart, your Edward Jones agent, Vickles Cycling and Fitness, Courtesy Door, Ritter's Garden Center, the Broadway Bar and Grill, Standard of Beaverdale, and the Pilot Grove Savings Bank. BHS Football, 7 p.m. Friday night on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR and KBUR.com. We'll be right back.
How are you managing those higher input costs? Fuel, fertilizer? It's cutting into your margins. A lot of farmers are trying different things to improve that bottom line. One of the things they're trying is wheat. Hi, this is Joe Mershman from Mershman Seeds. If you haven't looked at wheat lately, there's been a lot of changes going on. Here's Ben Pieper, our product manager, to tell you more.
Thanks, Joe. Farmers are finding they can make money by double cropping with Mershman Seeds Ultra Early and Medium Early wheat varieties, where they can get their crop off in late June and still get beans stuck in behind and grow two crops instead of one. And if you're worried about disease, we have that covered too. We protect that wheat seed when it's time to plant with Mershman Seeds Starting Line Seed Treatment.
More money into your pocket by planting wheat from Mershman Seeds, your friend in the field.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for health care can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
I'm Christina Bohannon. My friend Brian works hard to grow his crop and get a fair price. He doesn't have millions to throw around Washington. So politicians like Marionette Miller Meeks look out for their corporate donors instead. I'm Christina Bohannon, and it's time we fix Congress. Stop politicians from insider trading of stocks. No more pay raises for politicians, and ban members of Congress from becoming lobbyists permanently.
Christina Bohannon knows that the only way to change Washington is to change the people we send there. Bohannon will work with Republicans and Democrats to tackle our toughest problems. It's why former Iowa Republican Congressman Jim Leach and former Iowa Democratic Congressman Dave Loebsack have endorsed Christina Bohannon.
I'm Christina Bohannon running for Congress, and I approve this message because I'll only work for you.
Paid for by Christina Bohannon for Congress.
And welcome back. Pat Fee is there. You know, we can talk about a lot of things going on and a lot of things that... One of the things that seems to be, Missouri is going to be voting this November on legalizing recreational marijuana. They're jumping right over the medical marijuana hoop and legalizing and going to vote for legalization of recreational marijuana. There's also talk. We have a number of senators and House members that are also wanting to introduce that bill here in Iowa, and it's all because of.
Taxes. Taxes. Make money.
It's money. What's happened to Colorado? What's happened to California? These are, the thing is, the federal government has also made it very difficult for anyone to, because it's, you're operating in limbo land because the federal government still has it as a class one narcotic.
Right. And see, that's the biggest problem. People don't, people don't always look at the details of stuff. I get certain, the plans of attack, but one of the problems with it being that way and being regulated that way at the federal level is that all of your regular banks, for example, are dealing with stuff at a federal level. So that means that all of these places that are coming up to sell the stuff can't use your traditional banking to take care of the money they have coming in and whatnot.
Yeah, and I can tell you from a. My daughter, at California, was in medical marijuana, dealing with medical marijuana. They had a clinic in downtown Palm Springs, and they were dealing with not federal, but they were dealing with state banks trying to get to be able to have get some banking, and it would be you could bank state bank within a marijuana legalized state, but you couldn't do it. You couldn't go to any bank that was federally insured. That was the issue.
And that's a big thing there. And I truly believe
clear the air.
Some states are going to say yes, some states no. Do what we keep hearing everywhere. Let the states decide. Well, then fine. Let's get rid of the law at the federal level,
and
or the classification at the federal level,
and legalize it and have control over it, and also do the things you need to do to keep it so it's safe. I mean, treat it. You need to have it basically same treatment that you would give alcohol. You are limited to have you put limits on what you can do with it and where. Driving on it, and you don't drive on it either, you know. I know it's a more complicated issue than that, but anyway, all right. It is Thursday, and it is.
Pat's are we gonna, done already? We could sit an entire hour together, buddy, yeah. Man. You guys didn't see it, but we were talking as much about topics off the air as we were on the air today.
There you go. All right, you guys have a great Thursday.
Thanks for inviting me.